I Need Scissors 61, a remix of Metal Gear Solid 2 by Prince of Darkness. Folks, you know what that song means.
Same thing I say every week. I do.
Do you?
I do.
What does it mean?
It means it's time for us.
Yes.
Insert credits, round 3. Horizontal Negahawk.
Yes.
So why don't you just tell the story about that?
All right. So about a week ago, my hair was really effing long.
It was.
It was quite long. And it gets poofy. Very, very poofy. And whenever I wear headphones at that point, it makes this weird little horizontal valley across my head, which is very much like an inverse mohawk, horizontally. And Negahawk sounds better than inverse mohawk, so, you know, there you go. That's it. It's not a very exciting story, but I find it amusing nonetheless.
I have the same problem.
Yeah.
Because my hair is super straight. Like, anytime it just goes up and I press it down. Yeah. It's like that with hats, with headphones, with ears, I guess, if I decide to be furry.
I suppose.
Anything like that.
Anything with a band across the top of the head.
Exactly. I actually... Ooh, furry fandom. I ended up having to get ones that would clip on my hair so that it wouldn't just be like... all over the place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Don't they make ones with like little... know what you would call it, like hairband with little teeth in it that you can just kind of slip under there?
Not really. Because
no?
My hair doesn't do that. It's like, it's perfectly straight. It doesn't do anything. There's no way I can layer it in.
I see.
That, and it's super thick. So I...
Yeah, that gets kind of annoying.
Yeah, actually. So...
But anyways, I did get a haircut, so now it's not nearly as bad.
And now I'm like in between needing ones, and I'm going to be whining about it in about a month. So, woohoo.
He will.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, everybody. I'm Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
It's wonderful 7th of March 2014 for insert credits round 3. Housekeeping, first of all. We won't have a show next week or the week after because of
Correct. Travel
things.
Yeah.
I'll be gone. I'll be out of town next week, and you will be out of town the week after, right? Yes?
No.
No?
No, the week after is...
What's the week
Aaron's
after?
Aaron's party.
Right. We'll be out at a different party.
Yes.
Ah, yes. Okay. So that's the reason. So our next show will be on the 28th of March, which is kind of weird, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Farron may be here. He found out.
The 28th?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
He found out today as he was doing car repairs that, the thing that holds the transmission mount to the frame of the car is in two pieces.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not. Fortunately, it's only a $50 part, but it's another delay.
Yeah, that's another delay for repairs and more cost, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, $50 more cost. But it's actually quite nice there for the next week and a half, so they're able to get a lot done.
Yeah, and it's getting nicer here, thankfully. The temperature's actually going up. I think it was 34 last time I checked.
Yeah, well, so we'll grab our phones. 39 is what I have.
Now. Holy crap, yeah. Awesome.
Hopefully it stays that way because the melting water on the roads would be great if it didn't freeze.
Yeah.
But it actually got up to 43, and supposedly next week on Friday, when neither of us will actually be around to enjoy anything, it should be 50 something.
Oh, wow.
Should.
I don't believe that when I feel it.
I understand. Yeah, AccuWeather hasn't exactly been accurate lately, as I've been telling Farron, hey, all of this warm weather's heading your way. Fix your damn car. Yeah, today was the first day they could actually do that in a while because it wasn't super freaking cold and or 10 pounds of snow coming down per square inch. That made no sense. It's okay.
10 pounds of snow
per square inch.
For square inch of what?
I don't know.
Okay.
Cocaine.
Oh.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Snow.
It's also daylight savings time this weekend.
Yeah, fuck
so
that.
So if you are in one of those weird places like we are that turns your clock every spring and every fall, turn your clock ahead an hour and lose some sleep.
Bastards.
That's okay. It means it'll be later now.
That's
which
true.
Is good because this darkness sucks.
It does. I agree.
Well. What are you going to do? All right, around the world. GDC this year has a lot of topics in their design track about free-to-play stuff, which is good and bad because a lot of it is about monetization. And I thought that game developers as a whole have kind of agreed, well, the smaller ones anyways, that free-to-play is kind of shitty. I mean, I think it's shitty. I really don't play them at all, with one notable exception, but... Ugh, why is that shit in the design track? Yuck.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? It should be, like, marketing and finance and business
and all that
sort of thing.
Totally agree. Now that I'm thinking in the realms of programming and tracks and stuff, it's only 9 months away now. Yeah, I agree. That is misclassified. I would not want to be responsible for that. Get it out of my track.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of a bad move, I think. I mean, I'd love to go to GDC to find out if it was a good or a bad move, but, well, maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Ouya's got a new strategy. Well, sort of. It's their Ouya Everywhere initiative, and from what I understand of it, it's shifting their distribution to other Android devices, or I'm sorry, their platform, which I thought the Ouya itself was their platform, but whatever. So they're spreading their kind of app store thing to other Android devices. The very first one announced to get this treatment is Madcat's Mojo Android micro console stick thingy.
Mm.
One of those HDMI plug-in deals.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird. They're still going to be doing some hardware refreshes, though, according to Ouya's founder. So we'll see what comes of that. Steam's family sharing is now available to the public at large. Family is probably used in the most loose air quotes ever.
We live together.
Yeah, that's close enough. And pretty much anybody you have log on to your Steam device, your computer or whatever, can be considered part of your family. Yeah, family. Up to 10 people can share their individual libraries. One weird caveat I found out about this is that you can't have more than one person playing in the same library. So if someone is playing a game that they have, you can't go into their library and also play one of their games.
Oh, I see.
It's kind of strange, but whatever. Whatever works for it. Mm. There are separate saves for each account.
Good.
Even across libraries, which is excellent. That's a good move.
All right.
But the setup for it just seems kind of convoluted. You have to have them sign in on your machine, and then they sign out, and then you sign in and enable their account for sharing. I don't know. It seems kind of convoluted. They could have done a better job on that.
It's interesting.
That's Steam's family sharing.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, that you have these two in contrast, because Ouya's pulling a reverse Steam right now.
A little bit, yeah.
Because they started with hardware, and now they're moving out to multiple things, and it's kind of the opposite now that Steam, well, they're not necessarily preventing things from using Steam across multiple devices,
no,
but now they're making their own, well, they're not making their own hardware. They're making Steam experiences in a box. So
I think there's some limited certification or whatever.
I'm sure there is.
To be able to be called a Steam machine.
Yeah.
Which would make sense, I guess, but you know, whatever. So interesting developments in distribution for both of these things, Ouya and Steam. But there you have it.
Mm-hmm. So of course, Twitch. Still around. Uh-huh. Still playing Pokemon. So my headline is Twitch plays more Pokemon. Huh. Okay. Alright. Well, they started Gen 2, not this Sunday, well, this past Sunday, but the one before that. Our time was roughly 6 a.m., I think, when they actually started. They actually did play some other games beforehand, like hacked versions of Super Mario Land, where you were either Red or Pikachu or whatever the case was, or they really, really badly tried to play Pokemon Pinball and Anarchy. That was awful.
Wow.
There were some other things that they threw in. Oh, like Link's Awakening, except it was like Red Sprite instead of Link. It was kind of funny. Those didn't last too long.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But in any case, they're on second gen. They're playing Crystal this time around, which was the deluxe release of Gen 2. How they started doing, like, they released Gold and Silver at first, and then Crystal came afterward. And it was like Ruby and Sapphire was Gen 3, and then Emerald came after.
And then was it Diamond and Pearl, and then
and
it was
Platinum? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Black and White, everybody was like, oh my god, they're going to make Gray. Yeah, they never did.
Oh, no?
Nope.
They didn't have a premium release of that gen?
Nope.
Oh.
And they didn't do it for Black and White 2, and they didn't do it for Pokemon X and Y yet.
Yet.
So, who knows? In any case, more memes, more amazing cooperation, in quotes. In Democracy and Anarchy. So far, well, at the end of the other one, first gen, that was amazing. I was at work. This was the Friday after our last show, I want to say. It was super slow for whatever reason. And ATV, the all-terrain Venomoth, totally destroyed Lance's team, including Dragonite. Mind you, his Dragonite was mid-50s in level. This wonderful Venomoth was like 35, 38. Apparently, there's a thing in Gen 1 where in the Elite Four, if you're using a Pokemon that has a type weakness to particular moves that they're using, they'll just keep using the moves that are effective against you, even if they're just status-inducing moves.
Oh. Well, that's kind of silly.
So Dragonite just kind of sat there and kept doing these status moves till they weren't effective anymore, and Venomoth was able to get a poison powder off, and eventually just died a slow death of poison. It was fucking awesome.
Amazing.
Unfortunately, during that time, which was just outstanding, seriously, go to YouTube and find the video of it. It's just amazing. Everybody's just freaking the shit out. They didn't win against Blue that time. Aww. However, they did way, way later on after many more failures. But yes, they ended up finishing the game, and the guy took a well-deserved break for a while. The stream came up again, a little different this time. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up. One sec. Twitch.tv/TwitchPlaysPokemon. All right. Let's see if it's still the same, because I haven't looked at it in a few days. iPhone. Oh, boy. Oh, I thought it was going to be Carver again. Nope, it's still the same. Okay, so rather than like them spamming democracy inside of anarchy to get democracy mode, they actually stopped the whole democracy anarchy thing in chat. Democracy will turn on the hour, and it can be voted out with an anarchy vote, just like any button press. So it's always an anarchy unless if people actually keep democracy somehow.
So if the anarchy vote doesn't pass,
then it's just another button vote.
Democracy.
Yeah. Okay. So like unfortunately, I don't really have something I can show you, but it'll have a list of like all of the buttons that are being voted on, and anarchy will just be listed as a button. And if it has the most votes, then it'll immediately exit democracy until the next hour. So
interesting.
I'm not really sure I like it.
Well,
because
it moves things along a little quicker, I think.
It does. However, if you're in a scenario where you really, really need to be in democracy mode because everybody's being fuckwits, then it's nice to be able to vote it in. But you can't now, so far as I'm aware.
Well, you just wait for it to turn over and then hope you stay in democracy mode for as long as you
Well, know. True.
Maybe.
So, yeah, Twitch Plays Pokemon is very still going on. Still a delight, and there's a lot more, well, it's obviously different than Gen 1. Gen 2, people are whining because their Laser Gator / Feraligatr now is too overpowered because they overleveled in the beginning of the game. Big shock.
Wah, wah.
But there's a whole nother set of mythos and random crap. I mean, it's not nearly as involved as the Felix Hossel.
All right.
The cool. Helix Fossil and all that jazz. But people are starting to make their own lore for this series. It's not nearly as, I think, interesting, but it's starting to evolve a little bit. Finally, evolve. Wow. Unintentional. All right. Yeah. So Twitch keeps playing Pokemon. Yeah. They're still in Johto. Once they get into the Johto Elite Four, I'll start being interested again. Unfortunately, they taught their Pidgeot, not Bird Jesus, fly, and they've just been like flying to random places, like back to Newbark Town. So they have to walk the whole way back or learn to get to the right place. Somehow they flew to the Lake of Rage, last night in Anarchy, and the guy who is running this whole thing, Shet Bricks on Twitter, like, we just flew to the Lake of Rage in Anarchy. What the fuck? So it was entertaining. So yeah, that's going on. Something else that we brought up a couple weeks ago that was pretty big was the whole candy trademark by King across the world for using the word candy in a game title.
Oy.
So initially they wanted to protect their brand of candy, even though, you know, we can't count on one hand how many games have the word candy in them already.
Oh, no, of course not.
No, no, no. But King set out to destroy all of these people, really. And it was fun seeing the internet react to it. We already kind of covered that stuff in the Candy Jam and the wah-wah. But following a lot of that negative press and pressure from indie developers and AAA folks alike, the trademark in the U.S., that trademark application has been abandoned.
Thank God. All right.
But only in the U.S.
I know.
So it's something, but it was newsworthy. I mean, I was getting all excited about it last week, but and not a lot's been talked about since then because everyone's like, oh, show's over, go home.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, there will be more.
How silly.
The internet is always ablaze with something.
Oh, yeah. Patents, trademarks, everything.
Yeah.
A waste. Waste of time and energy for all that sh- Anyways, how about some tunes?
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, I still have that Pokemon kick going on.
Pokemon!
Yep. Moondrops by Sock Puckett. Puckett. Yes!
Very good.
Nantucket? What? Anyway, Moondrops by Sock Puppet from Pokemon First Gen. Ah, there we are. Second song, Right Here, Right Now by Jerry Terry from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Thank you.
Okay, what have we been playing the past couple weeks?
Well, let's see here. Last Tuesday, after a bit of a fight with Amazon, I received Tales of Symphonia Chronicles for PS3. Brian and I started that last Friday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Brian and I started that, of course, random, out of the blue. Coincidentally, he messages me about new Team Four Star things. We started Tales of Symphonia, the first game, which originally released on GameCube, now on the PS3. Played that for probably 15 hours over that weekend. And we're like denting
done?
The story.
Oh.
Yeah, denting. I ended up picking up Pokemon X a little bit. I am in the Battle Chateau with no intent on leaving. Just like my first playthrough. And I played about 15 minutes worth of Bravely Default.
How is it so far?
Very tutorially. But
great.
Yeah, I need to actually play the game. I just literally bought some equipment. That's as far as I got before I was like, I'm going to go back to Pokemon tonight. And then I just kind of haven't put it back in the 3DS.
I see.
It's not that it's a bad game. It's just that I got busy with other things.
Like Pokemon.
Yeah. Did I play anything else? Did we do any PC stuff?
No.
I didn't think
not
so.
Really.
It's been a long time since I played Spelunky. At least since the last show.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. That's pretty much all I've been playing then.
Alrighty. Well, I was actually laid up after surgery this past week on Monday. I got some bones taken out of my head. So that afternoon on Monday, I was just laying on the couch thinking, yeah, whatever. I shouldn't move around too much, and I can't really do anything else productive. So I pulled up Cave Story 3D on my 3DS. I'm like, oh, all right, let's do another run through of this. Okay. About 2 hours in, about halfway through the game again. So I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. So after that, I put that down for a while, and I've been doing a lot of Spelunky still, and a lot of Binding of Isaac. Both of those are very good for just quick pick-up-and-go games,
mm-hmm.
both being roguelikes, both being relatively short playthroughs. I mean, even a good Spelunky run doesn't go past in maybe 30 minutes, generally speaking. If you're really good, like I am not most of the time, it goes up to an hour. But usually you kill yourself a lot in a lot of stupid ways. That's been about it. I haven't branched out and tried a lot of different things. Been meaning to play the Oculus Rift version of Flappy Bird just to see what it's about, just to see how it controls and what it's like. But I just haven't gotten off my ass to do that. I also wanted to try the Oculus Rift version of Legend of Zelda because that looks really nice.
Yeah. Supposedly it's gonna get finished in July.
Really? I thought it was earlier than that.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know.
It looked fairly good for a retro game ported to VR, I guess.
It's not Virtual Boy.
That's true. More than one shade, more than one color.
Yeah. Oh boy. And some depth. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, let's see. Are there any other good games coming out soon? Oh, Towerfall Ascension is coming out in a couple days, actually. We had mentioned this a couple weeks ago. March 11th?
Oh, yeah.
PC and PS3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, Towerfall, not that other thing.
What other?
Wasn't there a tower something or other for Ouya?
Whatever.
Eh.
Titanfall, you might be thinking of?
No. I don't know.
I've heard very good things about that, though. Titanfall.
Okay.
It's a mech warrior-esque game.
That's probably why I was just kind of like, flip.
It looks nice, but for the X-Bone and PC, I guess. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It looks fairly good. Let's see. What else is coming out? I feel like there's a lot of different things, but I can't remember many of them.
Natsume is announcing something at
E3. Ah, that's right. I forgot about that.
No, I had to.
Announcing an announcement.
Yes. Like they do every year.
Love it.
So I won't get yelled at because it was already on Twitter anyway.
Yeah, it's already out then in public, so who cares?
Yay.
Binding of Isaac Rebirth is supposedly progressing pretty well. I saw like a short 6-second live stream of some of the gameplay of it today.
Oh.
It's like a Vine or something.
Of course.
Yeah.
So it's like, they like to do that.
Well, that looks cool, but I want to play it.
Oh, boy.
Bastards, come on. Hopefully that comes to the 3DS eventually. That would be really awesome.
I know that campaign's on Twitter.
Yeah,
so.
Still.
Yeah.
Best of luck to them. Any other games you're excited about?
Oh, boy.
Soon?
Middle of this month, Final Fantasy X HD should ship. I want to see the shipping date on that.
Should ship? Oh, that's right. That's the one you had pre-ordered back at PAX?
Before that.
Before PAX?
There's like December of 2012.
Oh, wow.
My open orders. I just want to see this.
Wow.
My, of course
time.
I have to sign in. What is the expected shipping date on this guy? Oh, we got bumped up to the limited edition for free.
Oh, boy.
Release date, March 18th. Hey, it's going to be before our next show.
Yeah, about a couple weeks.
So, yeah, that's coming out. The soundtrack is already leaked, interestingly. And there's a lot of YouTube videos that are comparing between the original and this one. And there's a lot of improvements. So, I'm curious. I've resisted going into it a whole lot because I kind of want to be wowed by playing the game. But, yeah, that was a game that I sunk a lot of time into. It's a good game.
That's the one with the weird job sphere.
The sphere grid.
Type thing. There
yeah.
The sphere grid.
Literally. Here, I'll show it to you. It's really not that bad.
I think I've seen it. It just seems really convoluted.
Sphere grid. Oh, God, there's a guide for it. Looks like little bronchioles.
Oh, my lord. Okay. That seems
higher resolution, please. There we go. Can we get to... Okay, here.
Almost there.
Excuse me.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. But you can go through it multiple times. And there are locks. There are certain areas that are barred off unless if you have a special sphere and things like that. You can go around and keep actually improving them, too. You can replace things that you've already activated with better versions of them, etc.
And at what point can you actually finish the game?
You can finish the game progressing. You don't even have to go through the whole damn thing. These are just like your augments and whatnot. Like HP plus 10%, or
can you get about an eighth of the way through a single sphere grid and then finish the game, or what's the
normal pace?
Here's
the thing, like each character, you can barely see it on here, they all have a different starting point. So that kind of determines like the skills that they learn and whatnot. Magic is also on here. That kind of thing. You learn magic by getting, you know, an appropriate sphere and filling in that sphere. Characters will eventually cross paths and whatnot and all that jazz. There's also the ability to warp to the location of another character on the sphere grid. So that's kind of cool because if, say, Lulu, the black magic user, is really close to Furaga and all that stuff, oh, I'm going to warp down there. I'm going to get all those spells, etc. It's rather unique. I like it quite a bit. So instead of leveling per se, well, you kind of do. But this is more how you get your stats. So you actually have to spend the spheres and all that jazz. You get them as a result of battle or chests and things like that.
I see.
So it's pretty cool. I like it quite a bit. But I'm looking forward to that. That's really the only thing I can think of that's coming out that's going to be super big that I've been aware of that I care about. So.
News has been kind of slow recently. At least
yeah.
From some of the major, major indies.
Yeah.
Well, but whatever. We'll keep an eye on it. New stuff always comes out, so that's always exciting to get down to that.
True that.
All right. On to bonus level number 2 with some more tunes. First off, a remix from Mirror's Edge entitled Clear Reflections by Sir Nuts. And then a remix from Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door entitled Black Onslaught by Fate X Stay. We'll be right back. All right, let's finish off tonight with some quickie ad hoc game design. Why not? Because we always do that. Well, yeah, we do. I think tonight we both kind of opted for puzzle-style games.
Again, like, for me.
Did you do a puzzle one last time, too?
Oh, it was the puzzle roguelike.
Oh, right. Okay.
But, yeah.
So me, I'm a big fan of puzzle games that have an arcade-y style to them, so they keep going until you fail, get a high score, that sort of thing. So I've opted to do a cross between Tetris and Super Hexagon and pretty much any other line-clearing game ever. So you start with this circular field, and the goal is to prevent the pieces or chunks or whatever from reaching the innermost circle, wherever you are. Variable field size. So they start falling in just about solid lines, maybe two or three chunks missing, and the pieces that you use to break them up with to form a line start from the center. So it's coming down towards the center, the pieces go out, you fill in the lines, as soon as you fill in a solid line, it disappears. So you have that pretty much iterate on that. You just keep going faster and faster and faster. You got to clear the lines until they get to the center. Alternatively, it can reverse, where the chunks start from the inside, pieces fall from the outside. You have to prevent the whole thing from getting, you know, to whatever large orbit size the game ends at. Repeat that, and that's pretty much it. Some other options to it, the chunks that are broken off into, you know, like single squares or whatever, are, you know, they react to gravity or reverse gravity, whatever mode the game happens to be in, and they can fall and form more lines for combos. Or you can clear more than one line at a time for better scores, or, you know, the typical Tetris 1, 2, 3, 4 line clears like that. A twist on the one that moves outward. As the lines get further and further out, they might break apart and form more holes, make it a little bit more difficult or a little bit more interesting. As the game progresses, as it gets faster, you just get shit broken up even more, so if you're not quick enough, you're screwed.
Mm.
That's it.
All right.
I think that'd be a pretty fun game to make and to play.
For me, puzzle is kind of in quotes because I don't know if you can really call memory games puzzle games, but eh. I mean, there's a couple different ways I could take this, so it's a hack and slash game, sort of. Well, it is, I guess, in the sense that you're hacking and slashing at something. But as the player, this is a stylus-driven thing, stylus and buttons. So it's kind of like the same kind of thing you'd be doing for, say, Elite Beat Agents, where you have to do motions on the screen in order to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also navigating with an analog stick with your left hand, I guess, if it's primary. So, yeah, it could be like a 3DS game, so you'd be using your left hand for that.
Right, yeah.
So the attack arena is circular, and your enemy is always, like, directly in the middle. You're just shifting your viewpoint around the enemy, essentially. So you can think of yourself as a ninja or whatever the case is, some fighter that needs to move stealthily. Or quickly, rather. Not even so much stealthily, because obviously it's, you know, combat, and they see you. The view is focused on the enemy, blah, blah, blah. The goal is to sidestep or maneuver around the enemy's defenses as quickly as possible while attacking those vulnerable spots. So what you're trying to do is get around to a part of the enemy that's not well covered and attack it. In order to move, however, you have to, say, one of the challenges might be remember a series of actions like swipes that you have to do on the screen or button pushes or whatever the case is in order to actually execute something. If you take too much time, it won't go properly or you'll get countered or whatever the case is. That's kind of it, really. I mean, you can have it in a mode where you don't necessarily need to remember the things, but you need to draw what's on the screen or stuff like that. It really depends on what kind of gameplay you want. You can set those in options, essentially. So it was like, oh, what's the game that I ended up buying that's super popular that was a hack and slash for iOS?
Infinity Blade?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It was. Infinity Blade 2 is the one that I bought. And it kind of inspired the idea at the very least because I was reading about hack and slash and I was like, well, you could get more involved. Like, the more elements that you have to do at the same time, it gets obviously more confusing because you have to coordinate yourself better. So mm-hmm. you're watching the top screen, and you're moving around with the analog stick, and you're doing all the actions with the right hand. It's like, that's a lot of interaction at the same time. which is why it's kind of puzzle-y. But if you want to have, yeah, kind of, where, like, it would be, like, on a flat surface would probably be the best way to
do
it.
Yeah.
So you can, like, tilt the screen to whatever angle you want, but you'd be, like, messing around with the analog stick over here and then drawing or smashing buttons with an index finger or something.
Yeah, there are a couple of games that did that. For the original DS, in that generation, there was Metroid Prime Hunters, which did the same kind of thing as an FPS.
Oh, okay.
Where you would move. Okay, so you'd move with the, I guess it was a D-pad on the left side.
Yeah.
And you could have your left index finger on a shoulder button.
Sure.
And then you'd have the stylus to change your orientation looking around the world.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of weird. It cramped your hands pretty damn quickly, but I thought it was actually fairly well implemented for
given the controls that you had.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. It was pretty good.
Nice.
Another more recent one that did that is, what was the most recent Kid Icarus game?
Uprising?
Yes, that's the one.
I had to think.
Yeah. I think it's the same kind of thing where you would aim with the stylus and shoot with your index finger, and you'd have to still clutch this mobile device in your hand. And it's a very painful kind of orientation to do it in.
But now the 3DS also has AR with the camera, so you can just like use the gyroscope and go around and do all that shit too. But that wouldn't really work for this kind of title, I don't think. But they do actually kind of implement that in Bravely Default, where, like, during the opening cutscene sequences, you can look around and stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but that's a side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's all going on.
Cool. All right. Well, a couple ideas to flesh out for each of us, I think. Some of this could turn into something pretty cool with a little bit of thought and iteration, I think.
And polish.
Lots and lots of polish.
Definitely.
And free to play. No. Yeah, no. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for Insert Credits Round 3 tonight. I am Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
We'll leave you with our typical closing track, a remix from Shadow of the Colossus entitled Trico Flies by Kevin Pankin. Good night, everybody.
Ciao.
Thank you.